The message this morning I'm going to bring is positive lessons from bad examples in Scripture. And so I'm going to start off with, I'm going to read three verses, and I bought some chocolate bars. I've got chocolate bar for the person who raises their hand first recognizes which story the verse comes from. And so I got three different verses from three different stories or with relation to one of the stories. One of them doesn't come directly from the story. So they came in packages of six. So I ate one last night when I was studying. And I figure I get one for speaking, and then if I get done on time, I get another one. So there's three for the kids or whoever wants to answer the question. Let's pray before we get started. Father God, we love you, and we think you are a marvelous God, a wonderful creator, great and holy. And we're just amazed to be able to stand in your presence, to be right with you, and just pray for this message going out. Pray for Dave bringing the message later, that you would bless that your words would be spoken with, and your message would go forth today. We pray for from this pulpit and from all the pulpits in the United States and across the world where your word is being opened. Lord, I pray that you would have your way with that, and that your truth would go forth with power, and that people's lives would be changed. There would be repentance where needed. There would be growth. There would be encouragement, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified today and in our lives as we go forth in the week. We praise you. We love you. And we come to you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So the first verse, and raise your hand as soon as you know where it is, and I'll get you the chocolate bar if you correctly answer it. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desires for you. Donald, I can't go with you because you know the story I'm talking about already. I think it was Josh had his hand up. Josh, where are we at?
Story of Cain and Abel.
Yeah, that's right. Come on up here. Thank you, Josh. The next one, and you might have to flag your arm around a little bit to get me to notice I'm having to read the verse at the same time. The next one, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So which story is this one referencing? It's not included in the story, it's referencing it. Let me read it again. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Does anybody have this one? All right, my kids, you can answer too if you got it. Anybody? I think I saw Dave's hand go up. Dave, where are we at? That's right, that's right. 2 Peter 2, it's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot. That's kind of a crazy reference there. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Okay, and the last one, if we have time, we'll get there. If not, we won't. Depends on how much I want my candy bar. And I told the kids if I go long, they get to split the last one. The last one, and it's directly in the story, And it says, this is the Lord speaking, "Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed." Does anybody know where this reference comes from? Let's go over it one more time. "Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed." This is Old Testament. It's near the end of the Judges period. Anybody? I might have to get another candy bar. And this is actually, all right, I'll give one more minute. Bryson, you going to get this one? This is actually from the story of Hophni and Phinehas in the story of near the time when Samuel's getting introduced. And we're going to maybe talk about that one if we have time near the end. So let's get started. The idea is we're going to go over these stories. We're going to try to pick out a positive lesson from each one that we can then put in our toolbox in life and try to use this to help us get through each day in a little more of a Christ-honoring way each day. And so let's start by reading Genesis 4. We'll go Genesis 4, 3 through 8 is where we'll start. Right before we're introduced to Cain and Abel, verse 3. "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desires for you, but you must master it.' Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." Okay. So the lesson is not going to be don't commit murder. I think we all understand that. That's not where I'm going to go with this, although we shouldn't. And we all have a sinful inclination in us as well. But let's get into a few observations, okay? Let's look at what happened. So Cain brought an offering to the Lord, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. He brought it of the fruit of the ground. He was a tiller of the ground. He liked to grow things, and that's nothing wrong with that. We got gardening in our blood. That's okay. But so he liked to. He grew things. That was what he did. So he brought this offering, and God had no regard for it. Abel also brought a sacrifice. Abel was a keeper of flocks, and he brought his offering, and it was of the firstlings of the flock and the fat. And God had regard for that offering. I don't know how that was manifested or not, but it says that God had regard for Abel's, and he had none for Cain. And obviously this was communicated in such a way that they both knew what was going on. So at that point, Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Have you guys ever been really angry? I know I've been really angry at times, and at times my countenance has really fallen. Just like you can't even think of anything other than what you're dwelling on, and it's just bothering you, and you're kind of stuck there. And I kind of think that's where Cain was at that time. He let himself really get stuck being angry at Abel, being angry at the situation. We know that Abel offered his offering in faith. We know that from in Hebrews. And we don't have from Scripture what exactly was wrong with Cain's offering. Maybe it was just the picture. The offering of blood was accepted and the offering of the vegetables wasn't. We don't have an exact understanding why Cain's offering was not accepted, as far as I know. But Cain was really down. And he was very angry. And the Lord knew this. And so the Lord intervened a little bit. He did some one-on-one counseling with Cain. He came and he talked to Cain. I don't know if this is in person or a voice from heaven. I don't know all the details there. And he says, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen?" So I was just trying to get him to understand what's going on here. Why did this happen? And then he says, I think 7 is the verse I'm wanting to emphasize. He says, "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." And I think it's interesting that at that time, the Lord is telling Cain that sin is crouching at the door. It's really, really close to him. With his anger, with his downcast countenance, sin is really, really close to getting a hold of him. Interesting that the Lord doesn't say that Cain was in sin at that moment. Like, I'm not taking it that he hadn't done anything wrong in his offering or what. It's just interesting to me that the statement is there that sin is currently crouching at the door, and its desires for him, and Cain needs to master it. But what was Cain to do? It says, "If you do well." If you do well. Well, what about? What are the details? Do well in what way? I don't know exactly what he was meaning there. "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up?" And in the King James, it says, has a little different wording. I think the "your countenance" in verse 7 in the New American Standard is implied. That's not necessarily there in the original text. It was an implied thing. Something will be lifted up if you do well. But what Cain did after the Lord talked to him was he went, and it looks like pretty directly, don't know how much time went between, but Cain went and talked to Abel. He went and told Abel. his brother. Is that what he was supposed to do? I don't really think so. Based on, like, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted? And so then Cain went and he talked about it. He went and talked about it with Abel. And then he killed him. Rose up and killed him. And so he didn't do well there. And I was just thinking, what about me? What lesson can I learn from this exchange between the Lord and Cain? And the first time I really looked at this passage in this way was when Heidi and I were first married. And I've thought about this quite a bit in our life, and it's you know, sometimes I get down and sometimes I get downcast, and this verse has really encouraged me in my life. If I do well, will not my countenance be lifted? Just thinking of, like, what? Do well at what? I don't know. Just do something well. Anything well. And will not your countenance be lifted? So if I'm sitting there bummed that something's not going my way, that this isn't happening how I wanted it to happen, and I'm discouraged somebody did this, and don't just sit there. Don't go talk about it. Go do something well. Anything well. Go do the dishes. Go fold some laundry. Me. Go fold some laundry. Sweep the floor. Work on the car. Fix the siding on the house. Anything. Anything well. Do something well. And what happens? Well, your brain gets right. And stop dwelling on this thing that's just, man. And will not your countenance be lifted up? And to me, that, when I remember that, it's helpful. When I can do that, it's such a helpful thing for me. Just do something good. Anything good. Something well. And will not your countenance be lifted up? And it was a real encouragement to me, and I've thought about it over the years, here and there, when I'm bummed and things aren't quite as good as they should be in my perspective. And I just thought about that, and the Lord gave Cain that advice, and he didn't heed it, and that's a problem. And I think when I'm starting to get down and downcast, you know, sin is crouching at the door, and we need to be careful on that. But what a blessing to have some really good counsel from the Lord in those kind of events. Do something well, and will not your countenance be lifted up? So I just want to encourage you guys this week, as you're going through whatever you're going through this week, if you get down, if you get discouraged, if you're starting to get angry, just do something that's good. And maybe that'll help your countenance be lifted up, and you can have a better outcome in that situation. Next, in a totally disconnected type of second half of the message, I'd like to look at the life of Lot a little bit. I just think it's so interesting, the lesson that we were supposed to learn from Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot in that situation. At least the lesson that Peter references. So, Lot was a man who ended up going, he was Abram's nephew, ended up going with Abram into his wanderings or pilgrimage, you know, the travelings the Lord called him, and Lot went with Abram. And there's not a lot of positive things that we see about Lot's life in the Old Testament. In Genesis 13, we are introduced to the strife between Lot and Abram's herdsmen. And let's go to verse 5 of Genesis 13. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And so they decided to split up. So Lot, in verse 11, so Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. Probably should have read verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So they separated their ways, but in verse 13, we see something that's indicative of the character of the people. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. Did Lot care too much? Not really. He saw the good ground. He wanted to have that kind of land. He wanted to be around that. The character of the people didn't have much play in where he wanted to be. He wanted to be where there was the opportunity for wealth. In chapter 19 of Genesis, in verse 1, he says, now the two angels came to Sodom. These were the two angels that were going to come destroy the place that had visited with Abraham. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. So Lot is there in the gate, and as far as I understand, that's kind of a respected place to be. There were kind of where a lot of business was transacted at the gate. And here's Lot in this horribly wicked place, sitting in the gate. You get down to verse 7, and there the people being horrible. Lot, credit to him, invited the two angels into his home to stay. And he goes out when they're pressing against the doorway, and he says, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. My brothers, to these folks. And this is, Lot's not in a real good place. And then when he goes and talks to his in-laws, or the ones who were going to marry his daughters, and he says, hey, we got to get out of here. Judgment's coming. They thought he was joking. He wasn't a serious guy. This was a mess. And he says, and the angels say, it's time to leave now. And he hesitated right then. He hesitated. And then later, he pled and said, let me go to Zoar. This will be a place where I can live. And the angel said, okay, I won't wreck it. I won't destroy that place. But then he disbelieves that, and he flees from Zoar as well. He's just, this guy's kind of a mess. And he ends up drunk and debased, just a horrible situation. This guy Lot, I look at him, and man, I shake my head. It's just, what is going on here? But I want to turn over to 2 Peter, and let's look and see what the Lord says about this guy Lot. 2 Peter, in verse 2. Or 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. And we know the story, how the judgment came to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was rescued. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Wow. That's the lesson of Lot that Peter brings out. That's the lesson. That God knows how to rescue the righteous from temptation and to reserve the wicked under judgment. What a lesson to bring out about that guy. The Lord didn't, through Peter, didn't mention any one of Lot's faults, his sins. And he called him righteous twice, right? Righteous Lot, that righteous man, three times, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. Wow. Three times righteous, one time godly. That's incredible. But what does it say? I forgot to write down the reference, but it says that I will remember your sins no more. And David speaks of the blessing. This is from Romans 4. But David speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. And the encouragement from Lot, I was thinking of, is the Lord does know how to rescue the righteous from temptation. And I don't know if there was something going on with Lot in that city where he was being tempted. The Lord got him out of there. He burned the whole thing down. He rescued him physically from that place. I don't know what the situation was exactly, but the Lord rescued him out of that situation. He got him out of there. And he's able to keep the unrighteous under punishment, unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. God knows how to do that. So if you're looking at things and you don't know what's going on, be encouraged. The Lord knows how to rescue the righteous. And you may not feel righteous, but the Lord knows how to rescue the righteous from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. And another encouragement from this story is the fact that God uses Lot as an example of a righteous man. And I think, I'm not 100% certain, I can't remember a single instance in which an Old Testament saint, their sins are brought up in the New Testament. I don't know of one. The closest I could come to was when Stephen is talking about Aaron, and he said they asked him to build the golden calf. But then it doesn't say that he built it. It says that they built it. It's really interesting. I don't know. But what does the Lord say? He says, I will remember their sins no more. And I just thought that was an encouragement. Because I'll just end with what David said again in Romans. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is a wonderful Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness that is based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would just praise him and honor him today, and help us to be encouraged as we live our life this week. Help us to walk close to you, to honor you in all that we say and do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.